In 2013, I received an amazing email from this man. This man offered me something beyond many people's wildest imaginations. He offered me something that would change my future. He offered me something that I didn't deserve. What he offered was to have my criminal record in the state of Florida expunged. Phew! Now, expunge is a technical legal term. It means that my criminal record would disappear. There'd be no trace of it anymore. How fantastic is that? Because having a criminal record is a serious thing. With a criminal record, it is hard to get a job. It's hard to get a bank loan. It's hard even to be able to rent a place to live in. But expunging means that your record is clean. If anyone does a police check on you, nothing will show up. What great news. Now, you might be very happy to hear that I did not reply to this email. As far as I know, I don't have a criminal record anywhere, not even one that's been expunged, let alone in the state of Florida in America. But for people who use Stephanie Escobar's service, it is an amazing offer. He's offering a new beginning, a new life, a life where you've never been guilty. We've been hearing God speak to us this term through the book of Romans. And last week we finished up with the dreadful conclusion. Romans 3:9 tells us that all are under sin. Romans 3:19, that all the world is guilty before God. It's been heart-wrenching as we spent the past 3 weeks removing the makeup and seeing ourselves as we really are, seeing the sinfulness of human sin, seeing the sinfulness of our sin without Christ. And we saw that there is no way to fix this problem. Being a member of God's chosen people, being a Jew, it doesn't help. Even God's law doesn't help because sinners just break the law. But today we're going to hear good news, great news. Something even better than what Stephanie Escobar can offer. He can expunge our record. But God offers us not just a clean slate, but righteousness. Now, Romans 3:21 begins with, I think, the best words in the Bible. But now. The best words, the best news. Now, remember how Romans 1:18 began? For the wrath of God is being revealed. And then for another three sections of the letter, we heard all about human sin and how deserving we are of God's wrath that is being revealed. But Romans 3:21 turns the corner. But now, but because of Jesus, instead of being guilty before God and facing his punishment and wrath, Romans 3:21, but now we can be righteous before God. What is righteousness? It means to be in the right. And it's got nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do with obeying God's laws. It's got nothing to do with the law. And this is strange because normally righteous means someone who always obeys the law, someone who always does the right thing. But as we've seen over the last few weeks, because sin runs so deep within us, for us to have any hope before God, we need a different righteousness. But in saying that it's got nothing to do with the law, it doesn't mean that the Old Testament is pointless. The Old Testament is very important because it points to Jesus and this righteousness that comes by faith. It's there right from the start, right back in Genesis 3, straight after Adam and Eve reject God, ignore him and his authority, God promises that one day someone would come and crush sin and death and Satan. And those two little words, but now, means that it's come. That time has come. It's come in Jesus. The law, the prophets, everything they were talking about, everything the Old Testament was talking about, pointing to Jesus, it has come. And it's good news for you, for me, for everybody, this offer of righteousness. It is for everybody and anybody. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, we've seen how Jews thought there were two types of people in the world, Jew and Gentile. But before God, there is only one type of person, a sinner. Well, even though everyone is born under sin, The good news is that God offers righteousness to anyone who believes in Jesus. So let's hear this good news. So it's Romans 3:21. It's on page 1099. We'll start at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this is great news. Righteous. Not because of perfectly obeying God and always doing the right thing, but righteous despite being a sinner. Righteous through faith in Jesus. So there are actually not just one type of person, there are two types of people. There are sinners. Oops, gone too far. There are sinners and sinners who have been declared righteous through faith. But how does this happen? For the last 3 weeks we've heard over and over again how sin goes deep. It's not just that people sometimes do bad things, but that we are bad people. It goes deep within us. We suppress the truth. We don't give God the honour and thanks he deserves. We do all sorts of things that dishonour God and hurt people in the world God made. So how can God declare someone like me righteous when I'm clearly guilty? Well, Paul explains how by painting us three pictures of how God declares a sinner righteous. And the first picture is being justified. Now, I'm probably cheating a little bit here because we've already been talking about righteousness. And righteous and just, they're actually the same word. There's one word in the original language of the Bible, but it gets translated either as righteousness or justice in English. And the reason for that is, look at verse 24. It says the word justified in verse 24. Because if it said righteousified, well, that's not a real English word. And so our English Bibles, they have to use two different words to talk about the one word in the original language, but really they're the same. Justified is a word that comes from the law court, from a legal courtroom. In a court, the role of the judge is to justify the innocent, to say not guilty about the person who isn't guilty, and to condemn the wicked, to say that they are guilty. And that's common sense, isn't it? Justification is something a judge declares about an innocent person. And that's how the word is used in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, the judges may judge them and they justify the righteous. They say you're not guilty when you're not guilty. And they condemn the wicked. They say you are guilty when you are guilty. But in God's courtroom, in Romans 3, that's the picture, but it's different. In God's courtroom, God is the judge and people, sinners, are in the dock, and God in his righteous mercy and grace, he declares sinners who are guilty, he declares them to be righteous. He justifies them. Now when God does this, it's not that he's doing a trick. He doesn't reach inside a person and change them so they're now actually righteous on the inside. In this courtroom, God doesn't reach inside a sinner and then turn them into a good person and says, well, now that you're not guilty, I'm going to declare you to be not guilty. The word justification is a legal term only. It takes us to the legal court where God is judge and his verdict on sinners who trust in Jesus is not guilty. That raises a question. How can a good God do this? How can God make a declaration that seems to be untrue? Well, we're going to come back to this in a tick. Keep that question in the back of your mind. For now, what we've just seen is that because of Jesus, God takes sinners, which is you and I without Jesus, and he takes us and he declares us to be righteous, which means that we no longer have to face his punishment. So that's the first picture. justified. The second picture is redemption. So justification takes us to the law court. Redemption takes us to the marketplace. We use this word to talk about gift cards. If you get a gift card from someone, you take that gift card to the shop and you use it to buy or redeem an item for the value of the card. Redeem means to purchase or to buy. But in the ancient world, the shop we're going to, it's a slave market. And redemption means to buy a slave's freedom. If someone was captured during a war, or if they were poor and had to sell themselves and their family into slavery, they could purchase their freedom. There were ways that slaves could earn money and eventually earn enough to buy their freedom. Or else someone else could buy them and then let them go free. Buying slaves and letting them go free is something that happened in the American slave trade. In 1816, a Presbyterian minister founded an organisation called the American Colonisation Society. And this organisation, it went and it redeemed slaves. It would go and buy a slave and give them freedom. Now, this sounds like a great thing. Unfortunately, that particular group, the American Colonisation Society, they weren't actually as noble as it first sounds. But you get the picture, don't you? Redemption is paying the price to free someone from slavery and captivity. So how is this good news for us? Well, without Jesus, we are slaves. We are slaves to sin. Sin owns us. It has captured us and holds us tight. And Jesus' death is like the money paid to free us from slavery to sin. So have a listen from verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are guilty. We are slaves to sin. Being justified freely, so God the judge declares us not guilty in his sight. By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we are now free from slavery to sin. This is fantastic news, isn't it? For the last few weeks, we have concentrated on the bad news. Wrath, sin, guilt. It's been heavy stuff. But we needed to see how bad things are without Jesus so we can understand how much we need Jesus and understand how Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. So we've seen the first two pictures. Justified, that's the courtroom. Redeemed, that's the slave market. The final picture takes us to the temple. Now this is a really tough word. The other ones were tough ideas. This is the tough word, propitiation. It's a tough word. It only appears four times in our English Bibles, and it's not even in lots of translations because it's not an English word. It's a Latin word that people have just been too lazy to translate. They just put a Latin word in our English Bibles. And so as we were reading verse 25, you may have been really scratching your head when you heard that word. How do you pronounce it, let alone what does it even mean? Well, the word means to deal with God's anger, to deal with God's wrath. The picture takes us to the temple. If you want to understand this word, you're actually best not looking it up in a dictionary, which is our first impulse when you see a word that you've never seen before. The best way to understand this word is to read the Bible, and especially Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus, that is the book with all the laws about the temple and sacrifices and priests. And Leviticus 16 explains to Israel what they were to do on a special day once a year, on the day of propitiation or the day of atonement. Now, if you read the chapter, there are lots of details in the ceremony for this day, but its core is about animals being sacrificed and their blood being used to cleanse the temple and the people. And in particular, the blood is presented to God in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and it's put on the lid and sides of the Ark of the Covenant. The idea is that the animals died instead of the Israelites. The animal takes the punishment that Israel deserves. Jesus is a propitiation for us. Instead of going to the temple, we go to Jesus. Instead of offering an animal sacrifice, God offers Jesus as a sacrifice. So what does propitiation mean? It means that Jesus' death is a sacrifice. Jesus' death is a substitute. He takes the punishment instead of us. Jesus' death cleanses us from sin. Jesus' death absorbs God's wrath. All of these ideas are packed into just one word and one picture. This is massive. Do you get how incredible this is for us? What you and I deserve is to face God's wrath head on, to appear in the courtroom, be found guilty, and face the consequences. But instead, in love, the triune God doesn't go and sacrifice a bull or a goat. He offers up the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, as our sacrifice, so that sinners can be righteous, can be friends with God. It is the opposite of what we deserve. But even as he does this, God isn't being unjust. If a human judge let a guilty person off the hook in a courtroom, there is hell to play. We are furious when that happens because it is corrupt, it is not fair, it is not right. But that is exactly what we are saying God does. So how come God isn't immoral when he does this? Well, it's because of those three pictures: justified, redeemed, propitiated. God doesn't let sinners off the hook. He takes the hook. He takes the hook for us. He bears the cost, our punishment. And so God is just, because he is the highest judge and his verdict is final. He's just because God has paid the redemption price. He's just because God's wrath has been propitiated by the sacrifice of Jesus. So verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. God is right, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If God wasn't just in all this, we would have problems. I'm not sure if the lawyer I mentioned at the start was a legit, honest lawyer. I reckon from his photo he looks just a little bit slippery. His offer of expunging my criminal record, it was probably legit. There are legal ways where if you've been wrongly accused of a crime, you can have the whole thing expunged. But if what he was offering was somehow to get around the system, getting guilty people off the hook, then he is a slimy lowlife. If God was like that, he wouldn't be good or right. He wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be deserving of our honour and worship. Actually, if God was like that, there would be no sin. If God was inconsistent, he just did whatever he liked, rather than being holy and righteous, then people, we could just be inconsistent and do whatever we like. But that is not the God that we know in the Gospel of Jesus. The God of the Bible is good and right. He is righteous and just, even when he does the most incredibly merciful thing and justifies sinners who trust in Jesus. So we've seen the pictures that explain how you and I can be right with God, the only way that you and I can be right with God: the law court, the slave market, the temple. And in those things, every time, it's always been about what God does, not what we do. Which means that there is nothing that we can boast in. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. If you do something impressive, then you've got every reason to boast about it. Now, that young girl from Toowoomba who's just become the youngest Aussie to climb Everest, she has reason to boast. That is something incredibly impressive. If you or I were able to be justified by following the law, to actually perfectly obey God all our life, that would be something to boast about. That would be impressive. But being justified by faith, you can't boast about that. We saw back in chapter 2 that the Jews wanted to boast. They boasted about having God's law and being God's people. But boasting, that doesn't fit with the gospel. The difference between sinners and righteous, it's not that you are a better person or a more religious person. The difference is what God has done. And so this is the end of any barriers we would put up. Before Jesus, there was a barrier between Jew and Gentile. Jews were God's people. They had the law, they had the promises, and they thought they could boast in that. But with the coming of Jesus, we see there is only one way to God. One way for the whole world. It doesn't matter about race or gender or class or anything. One way to the one God, trusting in Jesus. Verse 29, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. This is the best news in the world, isn't it? Do you believe it? There is one God. He is the judge of the whole earth, but he offers salvation, righteousness to anyone, no matter how bad they've been, anyone who trusts in Jesus. And this is the news, the truth that drives us in mission. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the darkness of sin. Do you believe what the Bible says about sin? That is talking about everyone who doesn't trust in Jesus. It's talking about your friends, your family, your neighbours, the people of Gympie. We live in a community where there are thousands of people who are lost in sin. They are slaves to sin. They may be godless pagans or religious hypocrites, but without Jesus, God's verdict on them is guilty. And if you're a Christian, that is a situation you were once in, facing God's wrath. If any one of them was in physical danger, we'd stop them. I was at the park yesterday with the kids, and there was a little boy who wasn't watching where he was going. Natalie was on the flying fox, and we were going pretty fast on the flying fox. She kept saying, faster, faster. He wasn't watching where he was going. He was about to be whacked pretty hard by Natalie flying down the flying fox. And so what I yelled out, look out! I wanted this little kid to be safe. And he was safe. He jumped straight out of the way and saved himself from being whacked by Natalie on the flying fox. How much more? They are facing deadly, not just a whack in the... deadly spiritual danger. And we have heard today the only way that they can be saved, the only way that they can be justified, is if they hear the good news of Jesus and trust in him. Who's going to tell them? What are you and I going to do to get the hope of salvation to them? But it's not just them out there. This is the message for us too. If you sadly were to die on the way home today, next thing you know, you are face to face with Jesus in his courtroom. And he asks, this is hypothetical, I don't think this has actually happened, but he asks, why should I give you eternal life? How would you answer? Would you say, well, I've done. I've been pretty good. I went to church every couple of weeks. I put money in the plate. Wasn't all that nasty to people. If that's your answer, you know the verdict. All have sinned, fall short of God's glory. But if your answer is, Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you have justified me. Jesus, you have redeemed me. Jesus, your death was a sacrifice that I trust in. He will say, you have been declared righteous. Eternal life is yours. If you've been trying your hardest to get right with God, today is the day to turn to Christ and trust in him. No matter how hard you try, it's not going to work. Sin is too deep a problem. But God promises that he will declare you righteous. not guilty. What you've done is irrelevant. It's what Christ has done. And for those of us who have been trusting in Jesus, whether it's for days or for decades, isn't this fantastic news? Those sweet words from God, but now. We know what we would be without Jesus. And these are great words to hear, words that never grow old. In fact, I think that's a great litmus test, isn't it? If you are trusting in Jesus, what we've heard today, although it's nothing new, it is the old, old story. For followers of Jesus, it should never get old, but should warm our hearts and remind us to keep clinging to Jesus and also to be getting the news out to everyone that this is the only hope they have of salvation. Let's pray. Lord God, we do not deserve what you've done for us in Jesus. We know that everything that we've read in Romans about the depth and depravity of our sin is true. Without Jesus, we are hopelessly lost and deserve to be declared guilty by you and face the consequences. And so we thank you so much for Jesus, that in Christ we can be declared righteous, that Jesus' death paid the price so we can be redeemed from slavery to sin, that Jesus' death was a sacrifice for us, cleansing us from sin, dying our death so we can live in him. Lord God, so many people in our families, of our friends, in our town are lost in sin. They rightly deserve your judgment, but we ask that just as you've been merciful to us, you will show mercy to them. And please, we ask for your glory's sake that you will give us confidence in the gospel and boldness to speak of the hope we have in Jesus. Please rescue many people in Gympie from their sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.